It is good to be here this morning. It's good for those who are visiting with us. I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guests, and we're thankful for you being with us on this morning. We're indeed thankful for the members here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. I want to let you know that it is always good to see you striving to be faithful, striving to do the will of Almighty God. When we consider the great text that was just read in our hearing and the wonderful songs that have been selected for us to be singing together, the more that I thought about the subject on this morning, the more that my heart trembled because of the great love of Almighty God. This week I was perusing through some social media. And as I was perusing through some social media, I came across a young lady who said some things growing up in the church that were disturbing. It was so disturbing that as I was thinking about our subject for today, I thought that I would incorporate that into our thoughts. And the reason why I say that is because if I could just sum it up, she didn't believe that God loved her. And of course, many were trying to assure her that it doesn't matter what you do, you can come to God as you are, telling her certain things that, well, the Bible doesn't teach. And I thought about the love of God, and I thought about how God definitely loves us and how he demonstrated that toward us. And I was thinking how the world in which we live in is just full of false teaching. You remember what John said on one occasion in 1 John 4 and verse number 1? He said, beloved, now notice that term there, beloved. Family, near and dear. Beloved, believe not every spirit, talking about mankind, talking about teachers, but try, test the spirit. Same idea we find in Acts chapter 17 in verse number 11, that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they searched the scriptures to make sure that things that Paul was saying were so. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. First, when we consider the love of God contains no falsehood. In 1 John 2 and verse number 21, there the Bible clearly teaches us that there is no lie of the truth. We know that God is truth, Jesus is truth, the Spirit is truth, the Word of God is truth. And one thing we can rest assured, that if we rest our minds on those things that are false, those things that cannot be substantiated by the Word of God, those things that God himself doesn't teach in his Word, friends, make no mistake about it, it's a serious thing. And it causes individuals to conclude that God must not love me. God must not care. False teaching can have grave effects upon a nation, upon a society, upon a congregation, upon the home, upon the individual. And if we're not careful, it can even cause us to have distorted thoughts about Jehovah, about truth, about that which is right according to God. It can cause us to look at God in a way that is skewed, off. It can cause us to even look at our brethren in a cross-eyed way. All because of some type of falsehood. All because we have the notion or conjure up things in our minds that God doesn't love us. Yet we understand even in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah chapter 1 and verse number 8, the false prophets of the day had caused God's people to even rise up as enemies toward Him. Which tells us that it is vitally important that the pulpit stays sound and solid. True. Because false views can lead to false lifestyles, which will cause an individual to rise up even against Jehovah. It can cause people to approach God in a way that is inappropriate. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus would say himself, they draw near to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. It's one thing about false teaching. False teaching can cause us to conclude things that are improper. Case in point, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 29, we can take that which is figurative and we can make it literal. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Can you imagine us taking that in a literal way? All of us would be here without eyes because we have taken it literal. Friends, when we consider the love of God teaches us to look at God in an appropriate manner. When we consider false teaching can cause men to be false teachers, bringing up false ideas such as being born sinners. Repentance is not necessary. My gender affiliation is not important. I'm worthless and insignificant. Who cares? I'm going to heaven whether obedient or not. That's bothersome. And friends, if we're not careful, we'll pick up the Facebook and all the other social medias more than we'll pick up the book, and we'll begin to think like those of a carnal mindset. When we consider the love of God and we consider this great text that was read in our hearing, the Bible clearly gives us teachings that causes our minds to be strong. Friends, hear me on this one. Causes our minds to be so strong that when we look to God, we look to His Word, we look to our brethren that are abiding in the Word, and it causes us to stay focused on that which is important. God's word is designed to, listen to this, to cultivate and develop strong thoughts, strong minds. The older I get, Brother Reed, I see. It makes more sense to me, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen to this. And be not conformed, molded to this world, but be ye transformed. Notice the word transformed there, by the renewing of your minds. It makes sense because of the world in which the church is in, whether it is in America or any other foreign land, if they're not careful, they would take on the society, the mentality that they are immersed in. This is why when we consider this great text, and when we consider the Word of God holistically, it is designed to strengthen the very mind of the Christian, to transform him from weakness to strength, from that which doesn't have assurance to assurance, to that which is carnal to that which is spiritual, to that which has no hope, to that which is very hopeful, to that which is deadly, to that which is alive. And this must be transmitted to our children. Friends, our children will not have strong minds if we don't put the strength in them. Oh, I'm not talking about getting your legs ready and getting your arms ready and getting your neck ready and getting your head ready. I'm talking about getting your mind ready, getting it strong. Let's break down 1 John 4, verses 7 through 19 real quick, And then we'll move from there and we'll look at some things that develop and cultivate the mind that makes it strong. And we'll see that it is the love of God that does that. Well, we're not talking about some mushy feeling. We're talking about that which is substantial, that which is concrete, that which is a rock. You can put your soul on it and it will take you to glory. In verses 7 through 12 of 1 John 4, here we see that loving God is directly associated with loving one another. Notice, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It's out of God. The word of there is the Greek word ek, which we get our word exit. You see exit signs all over this particular room. And the reason why is because we need to know how to exit just in case something takes place. Here we see that love is out of God, which means that God is the source of the love. And everyone that loves is born out of or begotten, comes forth from God. But notice what he adds to it. He knows God. That's an intimacy there. That's a relationship there. We know for a fact that if one has an association with God, they're already strong. But we also know that if one doesn't have a relationship with God, based upon the word of God, they are weak. They're weak. He that loveth not knoweth, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, notice here, revealed the love of God toward us. Why? Why, John? Because that God sent his only begotten son, put John 3 verse 16 there, into the world. For what purpose? In order that we might live through him. Now, here is just a purpose. One of the purposes for Jesus coming. Jesus came so we can live through him. Jesus was a strong man. Oh, not only was he the savior of the world. Not only did he give his life for the world. Not only did he give his life for those who hated him. But he gave his life for those who would love him. But notice 1 John 3 and look at verse number 8 real quick. Let me give you another reason why Jesus was manifested. Not just for us to live through him, but notice, he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested in order that he might destroy the works of the devil. So two reasons we already see. We know there are more reasons than this, friends. But here we see two reasons why Jesus was manifested. The first one we gave is that we might live through him. What a beautiful thing that I can be strong just like my Savior was and is strong. Look at verse 9 and 10. God demonstrated this in verse number 9 and 10. Look at verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son, why? To be the satisfaction. That's a big word there. You see propitiation, meaning the satisfaction for our sins. Friends, notice what John is doing here. He's bringing forth argumentation for the people of God to know that there is a way to satisfy God. Jesus was that satisfaction. That when he sent his son Jesus Christ, he shed his blood on that cross, the plan was fulfilled. God said, that satisfies me. Hold on. If Jesus satisfies God, and if I get in Jesus, that means I myself am satisfied unto God. That ought to strengthen the mind as well. That ought to give great encouragement and consolation to those of us who are in Christ. Notice verse number 11 and 12. Notice the encouragement that we have to love one another and how it is a demonstration of maturity. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, let's stop real quick. You want to know how much maturity it takes to do that? You want to know how much strength it takes to have that mentality? We live in a world today where if you don't like someone, you don't love someone, you can mistreat them and it doesn't matter because that's the way you see them. But that's not the way that God said it. And when we consider John and his writings to his brethren, to the beloved, notice the strength here. Look at verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, notice this phraseology. God dwelleth in us and his love is made mature. Your version may say perfected. Is perfected in us. That's interesting. That my demonstration of love toward my brethren is actually out of God himself, which shows that I am maturing in his son Jesus Christ. But then notice verse number 13 and 14. We can have assurance of a strong heart or mind when we do these things. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. How can I know that God dwells in me? Because he has given us out of his spirit, out of his mindset. We have the very mind of God. We'll look at this here later on, but I want to give you a prelude. In Romans 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Hold on. God did not wait for us to get right with him in order to save us. No, God knew that I got to send my son in order for you to get right with me. Now that's powerful right there. How do I know that God dwells in me? How do I treat my brother? How do I treat my enemy? And it's interesting that the Bible teaches the Christian to love their enemies. Nowhere in the Holy Scriptures will you ever find that God tells the enemy to love us. But then notice verse 15 through 17. This love is strong through few things. Number one, through confession of Christ, verse 15. Through belief of God's love for us, verse 16. And through confidence that we have to stand before God on that judgment day, verse 17. Notice, verse 15, confession. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now, friends, can we just take a little time out right here? I know we live in a time and it's nothing new under the sun, but we have more people who are confessing that God does not exist now than almost ever. Yet they have no evidence for it. As a matter of fact, in order for someone to be an atheist, they have to catapult themselves in the metaphysical aspect of the world where God is, and they can't, and to figure out if he exists or not. Listen to this. If a person confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, friends, that requires evidence, and the evidence gives us strength to confess the same thing that God has left us in his word. Now that's strength right there. And no wonder individuals were losing their life for the witness of Jesus Christ because of the great strength that they had to be willing to lose their life. Notice verse 16. And we know, or we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. Notice this. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Notice the argumentation that we have here, friends. We have the argumentation to strengthen the mind that when I believe in God, I can know that God is love and God dwells in me and I dwell in him. How do I know this? Look at verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, mature, teleos, in order that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Friends, if you ever want to have a strong mind, you have to know the will of God, love the will of God, love God's people, love your enemies, perfect it in your life, and then you can stand before God knowing you're saved. You know, even in Christ, there are some Christians that if you ask them, are you saved? Well, I hope. Brother Royce, I can know I'm saved. That's the whole point. And if we listen to the world, Well, we can hope. We can believe. We can even think. No, John says we can know that we're saved. Young people, you can know you're saved. You can know that God has delivered you. Why? Because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Romans 8:1. I can know I'm saved, and I can know that if I press a dying pillow, even tonight, even right now, I know I can stand before God justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, I can understand why John teaches, love your brethren, love your enemies, love God. Notice verse 18 and 19. God, what are you doing? I'm making you strong. Oh, friends. Going back to that post from that young lady, member of the Lord's church. I don't know what happened, but it hurt me. It bothered me. You have to put the right things in your heart. You got to guard it. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Guard thy heart with all diligence. Out of it spring the issues of life. God, what are you trying to do? What do you want? What do you want out of me? I want you to be strong in the grace and in the power. Would you be strong? Not weak, but strong. Notice verse 18. There is no fear in love. Are you afraid? Are you scared? If things make you afraid all the time, the Bible says there's no fear in love. I ought to be able to look a man in his eye and say what God says. We have to teach our children not to be fearful. We don't live in fear. We're the people of God. We live in confidence. We live in transparency. We live in uprightness and holiness and righteousness. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why, John? Because fear hath torment. I tested this theory. I tested this, friends, and it is true. At any time that you are not fully aware of the subject that you're trying to study or present or teach someone else, there's always a seeming trepidation there, a seeming fearfulness there. Why? Because I'm not totally sure. But when I am sure, Braswell, when I have the love of God in my heart, when I have the word of God in my heart, I can stand flat-footed. And friends, we live in a time today, and here it is, well, we just can't know the truth. But Dennis, we don't have all of the truth. And since we don't have all of the truth, we really can't know. Well, that's your conclusion. Well, we really don't have everything that God has given us. We have some books out there that we just haven't looked into. We don't know if they belong in the canon or not. But if that's the case, I won't be able to face anybody because there is no truth. Get the love of God. Friends, notice the text. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I saw some false doctrine the other day. It was on a banner. And it says, we love each other because he first loved us. That's false doctrine. And to put that on a banner is not only embarrassing, but it's an affront to God. We love him, that's God, because he first loved us. Friends, I said all of that to say this. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be sure. He wants us to be steady. He wants us to be on the foundation, which is the rock. And because of that, friends, we can have great confidence in God. We can walk with our head up. And it's not arrogance, it's confidence. I don't have to stand in this pulpit and say, well, I think, I hope, I feel. I can stand in this pulpit after thorough study of the Word of God on any subject, and I can know for a fact, and you can know for a fact, that this is the Word of God. So, point number one. Oh, that was introduction. Look at Romans chapter 5. God's love produces strong minds. How strong is your mind this morning? Well, I'm not saying that you have reached perfection. Even Paul says, I'm pressing toward the mark. I have not yet attained, but there's one thing to have to say that and to know what Paul said, that I am persuaded, I am not ashamed. God's love produces strong minds. Under that, God is the greatest demonstrator of love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we looked at this earlier. Notice this language. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Now, Paul, why would you say this? Go up to verse number 1 and let's read down and let's see why Paul would say this. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now, he just finished talking about Abraham and how Abraham was justified before God, never being under the law to Moses. He says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Notice where? Into this grace, this favor, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, listen to this, friends, but we glory in trouble, knowing that trouble or tribulation worketh endurance or patience. And endurance or patience, experience. And experience, hope. Verse 5. And hope make it not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God, Brian. The love of God. Why can I walk in this life in the midst of all of the sin? 1 John 5 and verse number 19. All of the turmoil, all of the chaos, and people losing their mind. How can I keep my mind? Because I got something to look forward to. He says, and hope, make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Friends, he ain't talking about anything miraculous. He's talking about his word, his instruction, his message. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. This is why he said what he said. God demonstrated. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The love of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and let's look at this real quick. In Romans chapter 8, we see that this love causes us to have a strong mind. And friends, teach your children the word of God. Read to your children the word of God. That's where the strength is. The strength is not in the mathematics. The strength is not in the philosophy. The strength is not in those things. The strength is in the Word of God. And teach your children to make a distinction, a difference between that which is holy and that which is not holy. And notice Romans 8. Look at verse 28 through 39. In verses 28 through 30, Paul is addressing salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with a view toward eternity. Notice 28 through 30. And we know. Notice the confidence there. He said, we hope, we believe, we see, we think. No, he says, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, he didn't predestinate a single individual or single individual. He predestinated a people. And the very fact that he predestinated a people, he gave them a law. He gave us the law of Christ in order for us to come to that law and think upon that law, obey that law, thus obeying God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we become a predestined people. But then notice what he says in the latter part of that verse. Conform to the image of his son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified, meaning he declared them right. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's eternal life. But then look at verses 31 and 32. Now, this is designed to strengthen the mind, to make us strong. You know, it's interesting that little girls like when little boys chase after them. I want your number. Oh, they just get all googly-eyed. You remember when you were chasing that sister that you have and that woman you call your wife now that you maybe use the other way around. I don't know. You know, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That ought to tell us something. But friends, verse 31 and 32 will teach us that God will go through great lengths to catch us. I've been thinking about this. And it makes sense why Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You go chase those sinners. You go chase them. You tell them about me. You tell them about my Father. You tell them about the church. You tell them about righteousness. And you tell them about holiness. You tell them about the love of God. Chase them. You know what? It's interesting that God chases individuals to save them. This is why we cannot hold the gospel to ourselves. Notice verse 31 and 32. The lengths that God will go through in order to benefit people. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen to this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul, what are you saying? God did not spare his son. He'll give us exactly what we need in order to be right with him. He's chasing us. But there's another source chasing you too. It's called the devil. He's as a roaring lion walking about. He's chasing. He's chasing you with different types of things, different types of messages, different types of people. Friends, let's be careful. Does this sound like a God that doesn't care about you? Does this sound like a God that hates you? Does this sound like a God that wants sinners to suffer? Does this sound like a God that withholds the best from people? It doesn't. Now look at verses 33 and 34. God's demonstration of love. Who shall lay anything, listen to this friends, to the charge of God's elect? Those are God's people. That's us. Those of us who are Christians. It is God that declares right. It is God that declares us right before God. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Notice the assurance that Paul is giving these Roman brethren under the Emperor Nero, going through persecution. It is said that Nero would take Christians and have them burning at the stake alive to light up his courtyard. Can you imagine living during that time? I couldn't. Can you imagine the mindset of the Christian as they are looking at their parents, their children, their loved ones, yea, their brethren, as they're on Nero's courtyard burning? Can you imagine the mindset and growing weak? Turn back. Well, I don't want to be up on that. On that pole burning like that. Just so he can sit in his courtyard and have a little light. I don't want that. Well, can you imagine the child of God who is strong in mind? Put me up there. Send me to my Lord faster, if you will. Can you imagine that mindset? Friends, God wants us to be strong. He wants us to have fortitude. Notice the text. Verse 34. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Put in your Bibles, Hebrews 7:25. Jesus lives to make intercession for us. He lives. Look at verse 35. Now notice the language here, friends. Notice what Paul is designed to do for these Roman brethren. He wants to make them strong. And this is what a coach ought to be doing for his team. He ought to be making the minds of his players strong. And this is what the pulpit ought to do. It ought to strengthen the minds of the brethren. And this is what our president ought to be doing. He ought to be strengthening the people of the nation that we're strong and we can make it. Notice what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can you imagine hearing that in the midst of all of the persecution, in the midst of Christians dying at the stake, in the midst of Nero putting what he was putting the Christians through? Can you imagine that? I can't be separated from the love of Christ. Okay, this is all right. I'm going to be okay. Exactly. That's the point. Notice what he says. He says, who shall separate us? But then he comes around and he gives some what's. Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Danger? Sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Notice what he says. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In the Greek, it literally, we're hyper conquerors. We're super conquerors. We're not just conquering, but we are conquering above the turmoil and the distress and the persecution and the tribulation. Which tells me that it doesn't matter what goes on in 2018, 2019, yay, 2020. It doesn't matter what comes our way. Friends, we win. We win. Oh, sad when a Christian who has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're now members of the Church of Christ, and they have this attitude, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You will make it. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. You have to keep your eyes on the Alpha and the Omega. Listen to this one. You have to keep your eyes on the beginning and the ending. That's Jesus Christ. Notice the text. Notice the text. Verse 38. For I am persuaded. But the Davis, remember we were talking about that in class? How Paul said, I'm persuaded. He said that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm sorry. He also said it in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 14, I believe it is. He says, I'm persuaded. And here he says, I'm persuaded, meaning that Jesus has influenced me. His word has influenced me. I'm persuaded. What are you persuaded about, Paul? Why are you so strong in your mind, Paul? Why are you so focused on heaven, Paul? That neither death, life, angels, principalities, that's governments, powers, that's governments, things present, nor things to come, big things, deep things, other creatures shall be able to separate me or us. Notice, friends, from the what? The love of God. Where did you put the love of God, God? It's in Christ Jesus. It's interesting. You come back tonight, we'll give you the rest. It's interesting what makes us strong. It's interesting what bolsters our hearts. It's interesting what causes us to be bold. For some, it's a little drink. For some, it's smoking and whatever you want to smoke. But friends, What should make us strong, 1 John 5 and verse 2 and 3, are the commandments of God. That's what ought to make us strong. You're not strong because you can bully people. You're not strong because you can outsmart people. You're not strong because of whatever you want to put in. You're strong because of the commandments of God. And this is the commandments of God. Or this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That's the love of God. So God, what are you teaching us? The more of me you get in you, the stronger you are. But I don't read well. I don't have time. I got to go to work. But if that's the case, when the trouble comes and you begin to fall away, then what are you going to do? God's word is designed to make us strong. So therefore, we're not going off on people. We don't have the lethargic attitude, well, let the preacher do it. We don't have the attitude, well, we need to make sure that politics is the forefront, because that's how we're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here because of Jesus. And that's the only way we're going to get out of here alive. It's by Jesus Christ. That's it. So, how strong is your mind? When people tell you things, does it cause you to want to leave the faith? Does it cause you to want to leave the church? Does it cause you to want to go find somewhere else to worship? But a strong mind says, I'm going to go talk to my brother. A strong mind says, I'm going to go teach them the gospel. A strong mind says, I'm going to go read that. Here, I was challenged on what I believe, and I don't believe that to be true. Let me go study it out. Oh, I figure I was the one that was wrong. Now you're stronger. You're stronger. So we can go to the Y all day long and lift and still be weak as water. Or we can lift ourselves up in that word of God and we can become sharper and sharper and sharper and sharper. Friends, the next time you read about a child of God thinking about going away or back, say to yourself, how can I help this individual? How can I make sure it's not me? What can I do to help my brethren stay strong? Tonight we're going to finish it. We're going to finish the love of God. We're inviting all of you to come back. Bring a friend. If you're working, that's fine. It's okay. But if you're not, and you can come back, come back. If it's too dark for you to come back, that's fine. Listen to it online. But friends, we got to get stronger. All of us. So when the obstacles come to our lives, we're not folding. Friends, this does not mean that I don't get weak every now and then. But what it means is when I do get weak, I do the strong thing and I ask a brother or a sister to hold me up till I get back to full strength. Amen. You know what we do sometimes? We get weak and we flounder. No, we need to be right here receiving the nourishment. Because the world that we live in will make us weak. But this world that we live in should make us stronger. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be strong. The only way you can be strong, you have to be in Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, verse 19. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, people lost their lives back in the day because of that confession. And it brings life to us. be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your past sins. Be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And guess what God will do? He's going to put you in a place called the Church of Christ. A group of strong individuals, different levels of strength and maturity, no doubt, but strong nevertheless, because they have left the world and now they're in His Son. That's strength. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been strong. Let me say this. Tenure does not equate strength. You get that when you get home. There was a man that was by the pool of Bethesda some 38 years. He wasn't in the water. Just because I'm around the strength doesn't make me strong myself. Tenure does not equate strength. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been strong lately. It's fine. That's why we're here. That's why we need the love of God and the Word of God. Because it makes us strong. Young people, you live in a world that people are not trying to be too strong today. You be strong in the Word and apply it to your life. And I guarantee you, you will receive the fruit of your study. That when your friends are floundering off doing that which is evil and sinful and malicious, you stay steady in the Word of God. The love of God. How strong are you? Teach your children. As we stand, as we sing to save this invitation.